Well, good morning, everybody. Happy New Year. Praise the Lord. Well, it's so good to spend the very first day of 2017 here as a church family. I'll tell you what, doesn't it feel like forever since we've been in church? You know, here we had our Christmas service 9 days ago, Friday the 23rd, and with no midweek service in between, it just feels like a long time, just too long since we've been in the house of God together. So it sure is good to be here today. Praise the Lord on the very first day of 2017. It's amazing how fast time has gone. Just to give you an idea, this building opened in the spring of 2010. So this building is almost 7 years old already, and it just still feels brand new to me, you know. So time is flying, but I'll tell you what, there's good in store for this year for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we just welcome those that are visiting Family Church today. For those of you that are visiting, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman. I'm the senior pastor here, and we just welcome you. We know that God's got a great plan for your life. You know, and we just see, you know, the folks that you really love God being here on the holiday itself. You know, sometimes pastors wonder, you know, what are people going to do on the, you know, when church falls on the actual day itself, you know, but no need to wonder with this church. Amen. Because you're faithful and you fill the place up even on the holiday itself. So we just welcome you. We know that God's got a plan for your life. The Bible says over there in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you hope and a future. God's got a plan. That's the first bit of good news. And that plan is not to harm you at all. So many times people, they get this misconception that God is sometimes, you know, authoring disaster in people's lives and trying to hurt them to teach them a little lesson or something. No, if you do that to your children, they put you in jail. That's called child abuse, and God doesn't do that, right? He's good. He's got good plans. But how many of you know it's got to be His way? It's got to be His plan. And the good news is that He wrote us a love letter. It's called the Bible. And so we don't have to figure it out ourselves. You know, if we'll just give attention to these words, you walk in that plan. And in that plan is all the joy you've been looking for. It's all the provision you've been looking for. So you don't have to stress and strain about what to do in life. Just get out your reading glasses, if you have them. I have them. Praise the Lord. Get them out and do a little reading and let God's plan tell you which way to go. Amen. And so let's just make a decision right now. 2017, let's just make it our most spiritual year yet. Let's put God first more than we did in 2016. Amen. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. And we're going to call this part one of the series I told you was coming. Amen. How to experience the Holy Ghost. How to experience the Holy Spirit of God. You know, how many of you want more of God in your life this year? Yeah, all right, well, half of you. Well, the other half, we'll get you caught up here. No, I know how many of you were flipping in your Bibles and you just couldn't get that hand up in time. I know you're hungry for God. But we want more of God in this new year. And you know what? Not just because it's a new year. But every year, you know, we should be going higher with God. Amen. I've purposed in my heart to go higher with God this year. And I just hope you'll come along with me. Amen. That we'll go together as a church family higher into the things of God, higher in the things of the Word, and higher into the things of the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you about how many of you know God is a miracle working God. He wants to demonstrate Himself in this life. I'll tell you what, the world needs to see the God that answers by fire. You know, we don't want church just to become ho-hum and, you know, just, you know what I mean? It's not just a lecture class. It's not, we want to see God demonstrate in our midst. Amen. And so we're going to be focusing on that over the next several weeks. If you want more of God, if you want to learn to walk with the Holy Spirit, if you want to know His voice, and also if you want to learn about His miracles, if you want to learn about the gifts of the Holy Ghost, the manifestations of the Holy Ghost, well, you're going to want to come these next several weeks because we're going to be teaching on that, all right, for several weeks in a row, and it's going to help you. And we're going to talk about how God shows up in our life. You know, thank God for the ministering of the word. Thank God for the teaching of the word. But there's also manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And those signs and wonders, they will follow the preaching of the word. Amen. And so we're going to go over to Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 20. And today we're going to focus on our part in experiencing the Holy Ghost, all right? I know, here I am preaching on January 1st. You know, maybe some folks were up late last night. I wasn't. You know, people say, well, where were you when it turned midnight? I was sleeping. I was in my bed. I was saving all my celebration for this service. Amen. You know, I was going to celebrate more about the things of God than some chintzy lighted ball falling down a post somewhere, you know. See, praise God for a new year, but you know, the world celebrates it because that's the only hope they have. We have a hope in a risen Savior. Whether it's December 31st or January 1st, He's still alive. He's still risen from the dead. His promises are still good. Praise the Lord. Thank God for a new year. But I'll tell you what, just because the clock struck midnight doesn't mean that's our greatest hope. Listen, your change isn't going to come just because the clock ticked off another minute or because the calendar flipped another page. Your change is going to come when you embrace the principles of the Word of God and do the things of the Word. Glory to God. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 20. We're going to start talking about our part in making sure, for lack of a better term, that we're doing our part to attract the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, He moves not randomly, but He moves in an environment that's prepared for Him. Amen. And there are certain principles that we have to know and understand if we're going to have Him move in our midst. He doesn't just barge His way in. The atmosphere has to be prepared. You know, just like lightning doesn't happen just randomly. You know what I mean? It happens because the atmospheric conditions are right for it. And when those things are in place, that power will be released. Well, we're going to talk about our part getting those things in place. And now here I am preaching on a morning where maybe we had some carnality last night and stayed up late and maybe ate too much and all that stuff. And here I'm going to be preaching about being spiritual. That's all right. You're going to come along with me. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20. I'll tell you what, this will change your life. It'll change your life. And that's the thing I like most, being a pastor, is seeing lives change for the goodness of God. Amen. Now let's start in verse 20. And you might be thinking, this is sure an odd passage of Scripture to be teaching about the Holy Ghost. Well, you just hold on. Let's read all the verses, and you're going to see how it pertains. And verse 20, it says, wisdom crieth without. Now, that word without means outside, meaning, and it's going to be talking about in the streets. Wisdom cries out, meaning this is what God's wisdom is trying to get us to know and understand. Here's what you're going to need to know and understand in 2017, and actually for the rest of your life. Praise the Lord. Wisdom is crying out, shouting, trying to get our attention. And it says, she utters her voice in the streets. Again, ladies, notice that God is comparing wisdom to a female. And all the ladies said, amen. And all the men should say, amen. Because it's not a coincidence that God compares wisdom to a woman. All right? Praise the Lord. Listen, I just might as well start off the year complimenting the ladies and, you know, yep. If there's one gender you want on your side in the church, it's the women, because they're more spiritual than you men. Wisdom cries without. She utters her voice in the streets. This is what she's trying to get over to us. She cries in the chief place of the concourse, or in the midst of the city, or you could say it this way, city hall. It says, in the openings of the gates, in the city she utters her words, saying, this is what we need to get a hold of. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof or my correction. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Notice what happens when the Spirit of God is pouring out. Things are made known to you. See, that's what you need. You need the things of God, the plans of God, the purposes of God to be made known to you. It's not the things that we know that are going to hurt us. It's the things we don't know that can hurt us, right? It's the things that you don't know that you need answers for. And notice this, the Spirit of God is a revelator. He is the one providing answers. Is there anybody here today that you need some answers for your life? Yeah. You know, we like to say it and we put it up on our screen and it's a kind of a slogan we have here at the church. This is a place where you find answers for your life. See, because that's what the Spirit of God is just desiring to do in our midst. He wants to give you answers. He wants to tell you exactly what to do because you need not fail anymore. You need not to step into the headaches of life and be defeated and all that, you know. So notice what happens when the Spirit of God is pouring out. You get answers. Oh, come on now. He says, I'll pour out my Spirit unto you and I will make known. Come on, I will make known. I'll tell you, God said, I'll tell you what to do with your business. I'll tell you what to do with your finances. I'll tell you what will restore your marriage. I'll show you how to raise your kids. I'll show you how to cooperate with the company you work for, all the things pertaining to life. I want God to pour his Spirit out on me and on you so things are made known. All right, see, now we're rejoicing about that, but we got to go back up to verse 22 and we got to see our part. Look what it says in verse 22. This is a scripture I've been meditating on. And I'll tell you what, I got into this verse, and I got correction, I got instruction, so I know you're going to get some too. Oh, here we go. Praise the Lord. He says, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. You say, Pastor Tim, there's no way that verse could be talking about me. Ooh. So sure, are we? Well, listen, I started meditating on that verse and I started seeing parts in my life where that verse was talking to me. I never look at a verse and say, there's no way that could be talking to me. Well, then you know you're deceived as soon as you say, oh, there's no way I could be called a simple one. There's no way I could be a scorner. Well, let's take a look at it and see. Because this is the first part. If we're going to flow with the Holy Ghost, we need to get a few things taken care of first. Are you ready? The word simple there, it means foolish people who pursue and give their strength to things that have no eternal significance. Let me say it again. The simple, you know, it's not just talking about simple, because simple can be good in terms of not complicated. All right, it's not talking about whether something's complicated or not. The word simple here is referring to a mentality that people sometimes have. And it literally means foolish people who pursue and give their strength to things that have no eternal significance. Oh, now you start to think of things in your life. And you start realizing maybe this verse is talking to me. All right, it's talking about people that pursue things that have no benefit, but only distraction. Okay. All right, you could say it this way. People who have not the maturity to value what's truly vital in your life. Oh, wow. People who lack the maturity to value what's truly vital. Meaning they've replaced the vital things of God and they've replaced them with distractions and non-vital things. Oh, come on now. And if you're going to walk with the Spirit of God, one of the first things we're going to have to do is decide what's vital to us and what's not vital to us anymore. What we give our attention to. All right. Here's what the word scorner means. The word scorner is one who uses their mouth to put down others. Oh, here we go. Maybe you are a scorner. Maybe we have walked in these things if we're not careful. It means this. One who is quick to give their opinion. One who is extremely opinionated. Ooh. With the implication that they think their opinion is always right. With the implication that their opinion is the only one that matters. Oh, come on now. Praise the Lord. Pastor, come on. We just wanted the first message of the year to you know, we wanted it to come with no conviction or no homework. You are in the wrong place. Come on. You know, like what Peter said to Philip. Philip, how long have you been with me and have you not known me? You know, we don't, we don't preach 3 points in a poem around here. You know, we dig into what the scripture said. If you want a motivational speech, you know, and you just want someone to read you a poem or something, well, go buy a Hallmark card. You know, but this will change your life. This will add something to you. This will make you different. Listen, if you want 2017 to be different than 2016, then do something different. Amen. You know, how about this? How about pray a little bit more than you did in 2016? How about we give a little more in 2017? How about we worship a little more? How about we miss church less? Listen, if you want something different to happen this year, then do something different than you did last year. Come on. This year, whether it's different or not, is not up to God as much as it's up to you. He wants it to be different. He wants it to be better. Right? But it's going to take, you know, you're going to have to do something different in this year. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, and I'm not here promoting New Year resolutions. You know, I'm promoting life-sustaining decisions. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. All right? So let's not be the simple or the foolish who pursue and give our strength to things that have no significance. Let's not be a scorner who just thinks our opinions are the only ones that matter, right? Or use our opinions to put someone else down. Come on. We need to ask ourselves, how long are we going to continue to give ourselves to all these things in life that don't matter? All right? All the things that don't matter. Now, before I go any further, I don't want you to fully misunderstand this. All right? No, it's not wrong to use Facebook and social media to, you know, have friendships and things, you know. I would tell you this, don't rely and try to make yourself feel significant in life because you have 3,000 Facebook friends. You know, but it's not wrong to use those things. It's not wrong to have a hobby. It's not wrong to go out and have recreation and enjoy yourself. So please, before I go any further and start smashing some things, I don't want you to misunderstand that I'm not in any way promoting this idea that life isn't fun. Life is a great time, all right? But we're talking about moderation, all right? But how long are we going to keep going where we come home day after day after day and the only thing we do is sit in front of the television set and wait for bedtime? No, it's not wrong to watch a little TV, of course, if that programming is appropriate and not causing you to sin and to sear your conscience and so on. But how long are we just going to keep giving ourselves to foolish things that have no eternal significance, and then we don't pray, we don't worship God, we don't spend time meditating in the Word? Come on. You know, we give all of our time and our strength to these things that have no vital significance. You know, TV never brought you up. Facebook never brought you up. Instagram never brought you up. Sharing your opinions on Facebook. Listen. Newsflash to all the YouTubers, boobtubers, Facebookers, all this stuff. You know, people get on there and TV and all this stuff. It never brought you up. And the times you share your opinion on there, people don't care. You think you're going to write some deep philosophical statement and rock everybody's world? Guess what? They do the same thing you do. They scroll through their news feed and they ignore 90% of anything that anybody said. I've seen people, I have literally have had people tell me that they were disappointed because their comment or their post or their status did not get enough likes on Facebook. I thought to myself, dear Lord, my heart, I feel sorry for you. Because if that is your identity in life, if that's your encouragement in life, I'll tell you what, how long are we going to give ourselves to the simple, foolish things? Sit around and, oh, quick, I got to go. Okay, I made that post last night. I got to wake up and see how many likes did I get overnight. Come on now. What if you laid down Facebook this year for that half an hour a day or an hour a day? How about if you prayed? How about you got into the Word? Oh, come on now. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You know, how long are we going to sit on the computer all day? How long are we going to, be wrapped up in social media? How long are we going to keep, you know, petty arguments and fights? You know, that argument and that disagreement that you're having right now with your spouse, it ain't worth it. You know what would be more worth it is for you to just go to them and say, I'm wrong. Will you forgive me? That would be the most, and my wife and I are not looking at each other, by the way. You know, so many times people, you know, they keep these petty things going just to prove their point. How about you just lay down your pride, and whether you're technically right or you're technically wrong, how about you just give it up in this new year? Oh, praise the Lord. Listen, it isn't worth it. It isn't worth it. If the Spirit of God is going to be poured out upon us, we can't be simpletons. You know what I mean? Foolish. Just pursuing things that have no eternal significance. Oh, praise the Lord. Listen, so many Christians are wondering why, you know, oh, the pastor, he talks about, you know, hearing the voice of God. He talks about the gifts of the Holy Ghost. He talks about all this stuff. But I have no idea what he's talking about because that never happens to me. Well, the reason why it doesn't happen to people is because they're sitting in front of the TV or the computer all day. You know what I mean? And they've drowned out that voice. Or they have a petty argument and they just got to hold on to that thing until the other one buckles. How about you buckle? You know, Dr. Dufresne, the way he used to put it, is like, why don't you just cave in? Just give in. I'm wrong. You know, people say the most important words in a marriage are I love you. The three most important words in a marriage are I love you. I say, no, those are the second three most important words. The first three are I am wrong. Praise the Lord. Come on, we all want, you know, we all want verse 23 where he's pouring out his Spirit. But then if we're going to have the Spirit of God, it's going to come at a price. And you know what it is? It's going to come at the cost of those simple, foolish things we do every day. It's going to cost your flesh something. It's going to cost you a little bit of that TV time. Maybe a lot of that TV time, I don't know. You know, it's going to cost you some of that computer time. It's going to cost you a little bit of that. And you know, everyone wants the benefits of God, but they don't want it to come at a cost of the flesh. Well, if you're going to have the Spirit of God be poured out upon you, if you're going to have answers to your life, and these things are going to be made known to you, something in your life is going to have to be crucified. Something in your life is going to have to be put to death. Maybe it's your pride. Wait, let me say that again. It's definitely your pride. All right? You think you're not going to have to walk in humility? Listen, you're going to have to humble yourself before people. Even when you're technically right, God doesn't care if you're technically right. He wants you to be humble. Listen, there was nobody more technically right than him. And he still demonstrated his love and gave Jesus for us. Listen, he was in the right. He never did anything wrong. He never wronged anybody, but yet he still gave Jesus. Come on now. He was more than technically right. He was technically right. He was morally right. He was spiritually right. And he still gave Jesus. All right? And so you need to listen. I sat down with this verse and I just started meditating on verse 22 about the simple things. About the things that I was pursuing. Is there things in my life that I'm pursuing that are just foolish and have no significance? And I started to realize maybe it's not things that I have to give up completely, but just things that you just scale back a little bit. Scale back, because something is going to have to move to make room for the Spirit of God. Something is going to have to move for you to make room for the Spirit of God. And I'd love to just, you know, tell you, it will happen automatically. No, it won't. Something is going to have to give. What is it in your life that is going to give or get out of the way so you can make room for the Spirit of God to be poured out on you. Listen, I tell you what, we say it all the time. The potential that is in this room right now, the potential of a church that is in unity, a church that is on fire for the things of God. Jesus changed the world with 12 disciples. How much more can we do with a group like this that is sold out to God in this year? Amen. What if, instead of coming to church just to get something, what if we were coming to church to bring something? We were all bringing a measure of faith, bringing our time in prayer together. All of a sudden, it's not, we're bringing something, and instantly there's an atmosphere in which God can move. Amen. Because I just believe that churches like this, God wants and desires a miracle room. He wants a place where people get healed, people's lives change, people get answers. Amen. But I tell you what, if we're just a church, it all just goes home and listen, watching some TV, enjoying a football game or whatever, unless it's the Buffalo Bills, you'll never enjoy that. And since we're on that topic, I hate to say I was right again. 8-8, no playoffs. I don't know. Did they even go 8-8 yet, or did they play today? Did they lose? Did they go 7-9? Did they lose to the Jets? They lost? Oh, they play today. Okay, whatever. I said 7-9, 8-8, no playoffs. Oh, they're going to the playoffs. They're going to the playoffs. They got a chance. No, they don't. But any other team, if you enjoy watching them, like the Patriots. If you want to watch a real football team, that's a team you watch. People say, well, Pastor, they cheat. And I say, I don't care. They win. Guys, you know I'm just totally kidding. In my heart, I'm a true Bills fan, but they have hurt me just for too long. And so I retaliate publicly. Amen. Nothing wrong with watching a football game or something you enjoy. But it's like this. It's like a piece of pie. You know what I mean? You can't eat pie 3 meals a day and expect to live long. You know what I mean? Some people, they live on this stuff. A piece of pie is, something you enjoy once in a while. But you can't live on it. Everyone's looking at me funny. Did I say something weird? But I see people, they try to live on things, that they really should just be enjoying once in a while. All right? It's going to take discipline on these things. It's going to be you telling your flesh, no. No, I'm not spending all my time doing this. I'm going to put this thing aside, and I'm going to get with God. I'm going to get with the Word. I'm going to get praying, and I'm going to move more into the presence of God, and the Spirit of God will be poured out upon me, and I'm not going to walk in the dark anymore. I'm going to have these things known. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some of you are still trying to get over the New England Patriots comment. Well, I meant it with all my heart. Kidding. Just don't watch the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're awful. I got Andy over here. I'm picking on some known Steeler fans. I'm just kidding around. Kind of kidding. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, let's get back to the regularly scheduled programming here. It's okay to have a little fun in church. Amen. But I like to meditate on that verse 22. How long? God's saying wisdom is crying out, trying to get our attention. How long are you going to be consumed by that distraction? How long are you just going to give your strength and your time to these foolish things that have no eternal significance? How long are you going to sit there every day in front of the TV or the computer? How long are you just going to keep giving yourself to Facebook and social media? How long until you say, you know what, I'm done with this. I'm going to set it aside for a while, and I'm going to get into the presence of God. Then you're going to see changes move in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Listen, all those things, the more you give your opinion on stuff, the harder it is going to be for God to move in your life. And social media today, what it is an outlet for complaining and voicing your grievance. The more you voice your grievance, you know what I mean? The stuff that just makes you mad in this life, the less the Spirit of God is going to move. The more you voice your grievance, the more the Spirit of God is grieved. All right? The more you just love to type your opinions, the more you feel bold behind that keyboard. Listen, so many times, listen, half the stuff that people are writing on there, they would never have the courage to say that to somebody's face. But they thought they were emboldened by, typing it. They think they're hidden in they're concealed behind that computer screen. But then they would never have the guts to say something like that to someone's face. Listen, how long are we going to give ourselves to simple things? Oh, wisdom is crying out, saying, if you want the Spirit of God to be poured upon you, you're going to have to ask yourself, what is it going to cost? What is going to have to be set aside to make room for the Holy Ghost? Yeah, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And again, we're just kind of building a foundation for the rest of this series. So many Christians are wondering, why don't I hear the voice of God? Well, because you're sitting around doing nothing but foolish things all the time. Come on now. I'll tell you what, it's going to take some discipline on behalf of the Christians to have God's Spirit move upon this land. Amen. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And before we start getting into specifics, we're going to take a look over here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. I've ministered on these verses several times. So often Christians misquote these verses. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. And often I've heard this scripture read at funeral services. I've heard this scripture read, at memorials and things like that, or when someone passes away. And I understand they're trying to find comfort in the scriptures, and there's definitely nothing wrong with that. However, that's not what this verse is talking about. This verse is not talking about when you get to heaven. This verse is talking about what you do on this earth. It says in verse 9, it says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. And they'll take this verse and they'll say, it's talking about the things that God has prepared for them in heaven. No, it's not talking about what God prepared for you in heaven. It's talking about what God has prepared for you right now on this earth. Let me show you. You have to keep reading. You cannot just take one verse out of context. Verse 10, it says, but God has revealed them unto us. Notice what God's doing? He wants to reveal these things to you. Where is revelation needed? Revelation is needed on the earth. Revelation isn't needed in heaven as much as it's needed here. In heaven, you get there, you're going to know. All right? You will fully know. But here, we don't fully know. And so revelation is needed here. And the things that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for us, those are the things here. All right? Yeah, the things that need to be known on this earth. And it says, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, the Holy Ghost. For the Holy Ghost searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. All right? And verse 11, it says, for what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? All right? How many of you know you will never know the things of your life except by the voice of your born-again spirit that is on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit talking with your spirit to communicate the things that God has for you. All right? I'm trying to get to verse 14. It says, even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Notice this. The things that you need to know, no man knows it. Meaning, no man on his own. No person in their own brain power or their own intelligence will ever know what God knows. The Spirit of God knows the things pertaining to your life. So guess who you're going to have to be in contact with? You're going to have to communicate with the Holy Ghost if you're going to know the things that are pertaining to your life. You know, that's why I keep saying the answers for your life aren't on Facebook. Yeah, you can use it for good. I'm not putting it down completely. But I'm just telling you, your answers aren't there. Your strength isn't there. Your answers are not on that TV set. All right? And so, again, the Spirit of God is trying to emphasize taking time with things that are vital. All right? Even so, the things of God knows no man. Listen, no man in their mind, no man in their emotions, no man in their intellect knows what God has for them. The Holy Ghost knows. So it's time to fellowship with him, right? Time to fellowship with him. In verse 12, it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we will know the things that are freely given to us of God. God's saying, I want you to know. I want you to have these things. But notice, if you don't know what God has freely given to you, you'll never walk in them. If you don't know them, you won't have them. Oh, come on now. All right. And here we go, verse 13. It says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. All right? The Holy Ghost is going to teach you things pertaining to your specific life. He's going to reveal the things that are personalized for you. You need to know it. You need to know it. But here's the answer. It says, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Look at verse 14. This is what I'm trying to get to. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. That word natural, it means the carnal man. It means the person that is wrapped up in nonstop carnal activities. They're always giving in to the foolish things. Always, you know, spending their strength on the wrong thing. Yeah, it says, but that natural carnal man will not receive the things of the Spirit of God. For they, the things that God has for you, are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned and understood. All right? And so notice this, you'll never understand it in your mind. You'll never understand it in your thoughts. You will only understand it through fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Only fellowship with God will you truly understand. Wow. All right. How can you do that if you're always giving yourselves to the simple things? You know, just spending day after day after day. It's just, you know, all those things that, you know, tie you down and distract you. Next thing you know, you'll go without. And so this year, we're not going to go without. Not that we have in the past. But we're not going to move forward without getting God's highest and best. Amen. Praise the Lord. To experience God's Spirit, you're going to have to be disciplined with these things. You're going to have to lay them down and lift your voice and cry out for God's leading in your life. Yeah, can you real quickly bring up on the screen Proverbs 2 and verse 3? I was going to show you, you might still be in Proverbs, but for the sake of time, we'll show you. Go to Proverbs 2 and verse 3. It says, yea, if you will cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding. So many times Christians, they're lifting up their voice for money. They're lifting up their voice to just things pertaining to their needs. When's the last time we cried out for God's knowledge and understanding? Father, just show me your plan. Show me. Imagine if you laid down those things and started lifting your voice right there in your home, right there in your bedrooms, your office, whatever. Say, Father, I pray most of all for your knowledge, for your wisdom, for your understanding. Yes. Cry after. The Bible says lift your voice to those things. Yeah, isn't that awesome? Verse 4. It says, if you seek her, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, again, being referred to as a woman. Men, you should really appreciate the wisdom that is your wife. Praise the Lord. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, verse 5, then shall you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God or the plan and purposes of your life. All right. What is God telling us here? It is, if we are truly going to walk in his wisdom, we are going to have to lay some things down and start lifting up our voice for his knowledge and understanding. Amen. Let's not be Christians on Sunday and then just filling our lives during the week with just simple, foolish things. Don't be that Christian that loves God on Sunday and then hangs out on the in the bar the rest of the week. That is simple foolishness. You know, don't be that Christian that, oh, I love God on Sunday, but the only thing I'm going to do is just fill myself up with movies and TV and media all week. Let's not be, you know, that carnal Christian. Let's be the real thing. And let's go higher in this year. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Because these things are spiritually understood. If you're just feeding your flesh all the time, your spirit is not going to get what it needs to know. Amen. Praise the Lord. Maybe it's getting a little quiet in here because we're stomping on some holy cows. We're kicking around some precious false idols in our lives. Come on now. Listen. You know, if you're sitting here and you're saying, yep, this is what I need to know. So often, there'll be many times in your relationship with God, you will have to stir yourself up. And you'll have to say to yourself, I'm going to get back to when I was pursuing God in the greatest measure that I ever did. I'm going to get back to that hour of prayer a day. I'm going to get back into that word. I'm going to get back to those things that changed my life in the first place. Because listen, everybody is human and everybody sometimes will drift away from those things. You just better, when you realize that, you better snap yourself back, stir yourself up. Amen. All right. Now, let's get into the specifics. That's really is just kind of the foundation of this series of messages moving forward. We can't be preaching on the gifts of the Spirit if we are just ignoring the wisdom of God and living on the simple, foolish things in life. All right? So let's talk specifically now how to experience God's Spirit. And of course, it would begin with this, right? Crying out, lifting your voice for His knowledge. Why? Because the Spirit of God is attracted to hunger. Those that hunger for Him will have Him. Let me say that again. The Spirit of God is attracted to hunger. Now, you know the Holy Spirit is God. We know that there's three persons in the Godhead, right? We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God is not just a form of energy or something like that. He is the divine personality of God, okay? And He is, literally, He wants to fellowship with us. He wants to talk with us, okay? But when it comes to the principles of God, the Spirit doesn't just move closer by accident or by randomness, all right? He comes closer because we purposely draw Him closer. He does not just decide to get close just by a random, you know, your number came up today, so He's going to move upon you. We have the say in how close He gets, all right? Now, go with me to Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Go over there. You're just a few pages away. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. You getting any help today? Praise the Lord. Were you blessed with a Christmas service? You enjoy the Christmas miracle? 55 minutes at family church? Don't get used to it. It'll never happen again. It might on Christmas, but that's about it. Praise the Lord. Ephesians chapter 4 and start in verse 29. Ephesians 4:29. Here's the number one way that you will attract the Spirit of God in your life. And I'll just end the suspense right now. The number one way is with your words. With your words. The Holy Ghost is there to respond to what comes out of your mouth. All right. Let me show you this. Verse 29, it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." Corrupt communication is just anything that God would deem unholy speech. It's not just four-letter words. It's not just lying. It's not just, you know, perverted jokes and things like that. It would be anything that would communicate doubt. It would be anything that would be against the word of God. All right. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. All right? Anything that doesn't minister grace to the hearers is called corrupt communication. Think about all the corrupt communication on Facebook. Blah, blah, blah. Here's my opinion. I think this is rotten and bad, and that person is this and then that. Well, it's not ministering grace to anybody. Therefore, God calls it corrupt communication. Look at verse 30. I think some of us thought that this series of message was just going to be about dancing in the Spirit or God working miracles. Listen, we're going to get to all that. But it first always begins on how true and sincere we are. Listen, God does not move in an atmosphere where people are unwilling to adjust their character. Woo! Put that on Facebook. But I better upgrade my status. And you say, Pastor, you're really resin on Facebook. Pastor, you're on there. I know, but really, I'm very, very seldomly on there. But of course, again, a little bit is fine. Everything in moderation, right? You know, but let me say that again. The Spirit of God does not move in an atmosphere where people are unwilling to adjust their character. God is, guess what he is more, there is something that God is more interested in than miracles. You know what it is? Your heart. The decisions that you make. The motives of your heart are more important to him than any miracle. You know, the manifestations of the Spirit. God so desires to move in our midst, but not at the expense of our integrity. Say, well, I believe in miracles, but I'm a sipper. You know, I'm a miracle believer, and I hang out with Budweiser. Doesn't mix. Doesn't mix. Oh, I'm a miracle Pentecostal, holy roller in God, but during the week, you know, I'm watching, you know, nasty entertainment and stuff like that. No, at the end of the day, God cares more about what you are doing behind closed doors, amen, than any miracle that would ever happen in our midst. Praise the Lord. And I'll tell you what, I am not, my job, let me show you what the role of a pastor is in your life. A lot of people don't know and they don't understand. Real quickly, I'm going to go to the book of Jude. You know, Jude is the second to last book in the Bible. It's just one chapter. Yep. Can you bring up Jude verse 24? Hold your place there in Ephesians. We're coming right back to it. Jude verse 24. This is the job description, first and foremost, of any minister, especially a pastor. Jude verse 24 says, "Now unto him, God the Father, that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever." A lot of times this is referred to as the doxology, all right, but it's doctrine to us. Verse 24, notice what we're supposed to do? Present you faultless before God at his coming. God's number one desire in his heart is not that you just see his miracles, but that when you stand before him, you stand there faultless. Amen. That means without blame, without blemish, without spot. He wants your character. He wants your integrity to be the real thing. Amen. We're living in a day and a time where Christianity is promoting this idea that you can have Jesus and your sin too. No, it does not happen that way. It does not mix that way. Yes, he's forgiving. Yes, he's merciful. Yes, he's graceful. But we have a decision to make. Amen. What side are you going to walk on? With God, it's all in or all out. There is no middle ground with him. Amen. And just make 2017 the year that you destroy the middle ground in your life. Because sometimes we like to back up and camp out on the middle ground. No more middle ground. Amen. Praise the Lord. So God's desire is that you stand before him blameless, living a holy, righteous life. Amen. Before all the miracles of the Holy Ghost, before all the gifts of the Spirit, your integrity. Because he is not moving in an atmosphere where people are unwilling to adjust their character. Oh, some of you, did you stay up too late? Let's hope not. All right. Because this will change your life. Ephesians 4:29, you're back over there now. Let no corrupt communication. Number one way to experience the Holy Ghost, don't grieve him with your words. Why? Look at verse 30. It's talking about let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Look at verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Notice the Holy Spirit can be grieved. That word grieved means saddened or offended. Woo! Said, you never thought that you could make the Holy Ghost sad. Yeah? If God is love, then He has a great ability to be hurt. All that God does is love. And when we violate the love of God, we violate through our words. The Bible said it saddens the Holy Ghost. Or it offends His nature. All right? It's not that God stops loving you. It's not that God forsakes you. But it just causes the Spirit of God to back up. He's like, I want to be in their life. Let me in. Let me in. But their words grieve me. I can't. God cannot override or violate Ephesians 4:30. If you talk in a way that grieves the Holy Ghost, He has to. By the written word of God, He has to back up. He has to stand and only watch from the distance when He wants to be your helper. He wants to be your advocate. He wants to be your standby. But He, you know, the Holy Ghost wants to come into your life and put His hands under that heavy burden. He wants to help you to, you know, He wants to make that burden lighter. He wants to lift and help you. But if your words grieve Him, he's not mad or angry at you or stop loving you or anything. He just has no other choice. My hands are off. My hands are off. You know, you start getting, you know, screaming and yelling at your spouse and insulting the Holy Ghost. You know, or you start, you know, voicing your opinion. So-and-so's this and that, and they're that and this. He just backs up. He's like, I can't move there. You know, if you're the person that's always saying, what are we going to do now? Why did this happen? And what are we going to do now? What are we going to do? He starts saying, that's doubt and unbelief. You know, someone that's always negative, negativity. Come on. You ever talk to somebody and it's like they can never find a reason that anything's ever going to work out for them? You know, they always find an excuse why something's bad going to happen. We call that in this world Murphy's Law. We have a bunch of Murphys running around in the body of Christ. They're always, you know, anything that bad could happen will happen. And they talk like that, you know. They'll say, oh, that's flu season. I'm going to be the first one to get it. You know, Holy Ghost says, oh. You know, oh, I hear these testimonies of people getting blessed and, you know, these miracles showing up for them and their finances and stuff. It doesn't ever happen for me. I'm sick and tired of this boss at work and this person I work with. Holy Ghost, it says, I can't work in that environment. Christians all over are wondering why they're not experiencing the Holy Ghost, and then they talk like that and they don't even realize it. Come on now. Number one way to experience the Holy Ghost, don't grieve Him with your words. We've already talked about some examples. Foul language, number one. How about foul language? See, there used to be a day in the body of Christ where Christians didn't swear. Remember when Christians didn't swear? Right. I remember growing up and you'd hear a Christian swear, it would just about floor you. Now today, unfortunately, it's almost become normal. No, we don't talk like the world talks. Come on now. Listen, I'll tell you what, it's time for us to lift our standards. Foul language. How about this one? Complaining. You know what complaining is? Is when you have it good, but you talk like you have it bad. Let me just tell you what. Everyone in here, you have it good. You have it good. Say, well, I don't know where I have it good. See, there's your problem. There's your problem. Well, I don't know where it's been good. This is going on, this is going on, this is going on. This is falling apart, this is falling apart. Let me tell you what. You are in a place here today that loves you, that puts the Word of God first, that puts God Himself first, will tell you the truth, will teach you how to walk in these things. Amen. I'll tell you what. Listen, if you're here today and you're taking these things to heart, guess what? Tomorrow can be better. Listen, next week can be better. If you're here putting these things into practice in your life, guess what? Whatever that thing is you're facing, it can change. It can change. So you can say, God is good. Why? He's bringing you an opportunity that things can be better. They can be brighter. Glory to God. If you're always somebody that says, well, it's just not going good for me. It's not good. It's not good. You're a negative speaker. You're a complainer. All right? In the Spirit of God, what's he do? Oh, it hurts him. The Spirit of God says, that saddens me. Because you know why it saddens him? Because he wants better for you. You know what saddens him? You know, let me show you what saddens him. Can you bring up Psalm 35:27? Isn't that a verse we quote around here a lot? Right? Let's bring that up. Psalm 35:27. Let him shout for joy and be glad. Those that favor my righteous cause, yea, let him say continually, let the Lord be magnified. So if you come to this church and you wonder why we're always vocal, the Bible says, let them say continually. All the time, let them say. Let the Lord be magnified, who what? Takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. So this is Old Testament. God wanted to take care of his employees. Right? Shouldn't a good boss want to see his employees blessed? Absolutely. How much more do you want your children blessed? In the New Testament, we're not just servants, are we? We're the children of Almighty God. And notice what the Spirit of God takes pleasure in? Prospering you. But when you talk that way, he can't. And it saddens him to think, I cannot prosper them the way I want to. They have made it. They have put a barrier. They've put a hindrance. I cannot bless them. I cannot prosper them. And the Spirit so wanted to do that, it saddens him when he can't. Oh, wow. Complaining. Complaining is when you say you have it bad and you can't see the good that God's done for you in your life. Listen, if you have a child, you have a reward from God. Okay? If you put, you know, one spoonful of food in your mouth today, there's something to thank God for. All right? If you put on a stitch of clothing, which I'm glad you did, you have something to thank God for. Yeah, absolutely. Listen, and I'll tell you what, it's more, I bet you have more in your life just than food and clothing. I bet you probably rode in a vehicle today. I bet you probably had heat in your home. I bet you even walked across carpet or tile and have a finished house, which makes you more prosperous than 97% of the rest of this world. Do you realize what you have compared to what the rest of the world has? So listen, there's never a reason to complain. You know, there's never a good excuse to complain, because the Spirit of God backs up, has nothing to do with it. Negativity, always talking about how bad it is, how you don't like this. It never works out for me. How are we going to make ends meet? How are we going to do that? The Spirit of God just says, oh. And this is why so many Christians are not experiencing. They want the miracles. They want the manifestations. We want to have services where we're jumping and running around and all this stuff. And so often I say, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, you want to have those things. Well, then you better put first things first. You want to see the Spirit of God move, then you're going to have to watch your words. Amen. Remember, over there in Hebrews chapter 3, actually, we might as well just bring it up for the sake of time. We'll just look at it on the screen. Hebrews 3:7. Remember when God was dealing with the Israelites? And remember how he promised them a land flowing with milk and honey? But how many of them actually got there? Very few. And why were their lives cut short, and why did they not experience the blessing of God? Because they were complainers. They were complainers. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, this is the Spirit of God, today if you will hear his voice, keep going with me, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. That was talking about the wilderness time when the Israelites were walking through the desert. In the day of the temptation in the wilderness, verse 9, when your fathers tempted me, they proved me and they saw my works for 40 years. Verse 10. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation. And I said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Why? Because they complained. Go back up to verse 9. If we casually read it, we miss it. Here's the second thing that grieves the Spirit of God. Number one is your words, and number two is listed right here in this verse, if you look at it carefully, to see his works in your life and then continue to doubt and refuse him. God, when it says when your fathers, that means their ancestors, your ancestors tempted me and proved me. It means literally that those people, they cried out to God and God provided for them. Remember when they cried out for water? They hit the rock and a whole bunch of water came out of dry, barren rocks. Remember when they cried out for meat to eat? And the quails, God brought the south wind and the quails, and they fed on flesh until they were full. Every time they cried out for God to do something for them, he responded, and yet they still complained. They still resisted him. They still doubted. Listen, if you've seen God do one good thing in your life, guess what? He's going to do another. Right. You know what I mean? If you look back on your life and you say, God did this for me, he did that for me, he did this, guess what? You do not doubt for what you now need. Because if he did it before, he's going to do it again. And it grieves him when we have had so many good things happen in our life and then we doubt the next thing we need. Listen, he's gotten us over so many hurdles. Listen, he's gotten us over so many hurdles in this local church. He's gotten us into so many buildings. He's gotten over so many debts. He's provided a way. Guess what? He's going to provide the next one. Listen, he has provided. He's healed your body. He's helped your marriage. He's done all these things. Guess what? That thing you're facing now, he's going to do it again. And it grieves him when we've had all these great things happen, you know, when we can look back and see where God's blessed us, and then we doubt the next thing we need. It grieves God when he's done all this for you, and then you all of a sudden wonder about the next thing. Exactly. If he got you over the last five hurdles, guess what he's going to do? He's going to get you over the next five hurdles.
Absolutely. Good.
Praise the Lord. You know, it's because the devil wants us to just think about what's in front of us now. He wants us to just focus on the obstacle that's in front of us now. But God says, focus back on the obstacles that I got you over. And then you'll just say, you know what? This obstacle in front of me now is just going to be like those ones.
Yes, that's right.
I'm going to go right over it. Amen. And I'm going to be just fine. Listen, you might not even remember what you were going through 2 years ago today. You might not even remember it. Why? Because God got you over it. You might not even remember what you were going through 5 years ago from today. You don't even think about it. Why? Because God got you over it. And so why are you so obsessed with the one that's in front of you today? Just say, he's going to get me over this one. He's going to get me over this one. Oh, my God. God keeps leading us into things and taking us to new heights and new places of ministry, of influence, you know, of accomplishment in our personal lives and in ministry and things like that. But the devil's going to try to keep throwing obstacles. And every time one gets thrown in front of us, God wants to say, I'm going to go over this one too. Just like I went over the last 10, this will be no different. See, the number one way to experience the Spirit of God is don't grieve him with your words. Number two is to always, to not forget the good that he's done for you. And not to doubt the, you know, what you're going through right now. You're going to get over that too. You're going to get through that one too. Amen. Why? Because notice it says the Spirit was grieved. He was so grieved. He's thinking, I did this miracle. I split the Red Sea. I gave you manna from heaven. I healed you of the serpent bites. I conquered armies before you. I did all this for you. And now you're going to complain? You're going to forget the good works that I proved myself? How much are you going to, how long is it going to take before you believe that God's good? How long is it going to take before you say, God is good? God is going to get me through this? Oh, come on now. Why? Because the Spirit of God loves a spirit of faith. He loves for you to say, God did this, therefore he's going to get me over this. God has never left me. He's never forsaken me. He's never been late. He's never let me down. He's never held me down. He's only been good to me. And so this is going to be no different. You know, some people, they start dreading a new year. That's why, you know, we say here, 2017, it's going to be better than 2016. Glory to God. Let's go higher. Let's have more of God. But let's first, if we're going to experience the Spirit of God, let's not be those simple Christians. You know what I mean? Because you know what? I'll be honest. There's just too much of that in the body of Christ as it is, where it's just believers. And I just want to point out, there's many of you that have been in part of this work in this church since the beginning, you know, or very close to it. And I'll just say to those that, you know, that have been here for a while, you know, those things that you got on fire for all those years back, get on fire for them again. If you say, you know, I've seen a lot of families, we have a lot of young families here at this church, and people having, you know, they're raising kids, they're having kids for the first time, and there's a whole lesson to learn in that stuff, is there not? And it really starts to, you know, put a test, you know, on your time and all these things. And next thing you know, you look at your life and you've drifted away from the things that you used to be on fire for. Well, guess what? The good news is you can get back. The good news is just stir yourself up. Get on fire again for those things that you were once on fire for, that saved your marriage back then, that saved your life back then, that healed your body back then. Don't go in roller coaster mode. All right, and I say that to our church members that have been here for a while, because I've seen a lot of that in these lives. You know, don't let the pressures of life, don't let, you know, the busyness with raising kids and stuff steal your fire for God. You know, God never gave us kids so that it would steal from our passion from him. You know what I mean? We still keep God first. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the good news is you can stir yourself up. You can get on fire again. And let's not be like those, you know, like so much of the body of Christ today, where they're one thing at home and then something else at church. And that's not to put condemnation on anybody. It's just to stir you up. Do you get some help here today? Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead. Let's pray. Father God, we love you.